It is so fun to see those little kids and to wonder what they're going to look like someday. Now, I'm going to try to get this thing to work here. And it's... Hold on. What is amazing is we grow up and we look a little different than we once did. So I have some pictures here, and I just want you to try to figure out who is being talked about here. Let me see if I can get this to come up, and it's, there we go. All right, who do you think this young man is? Any clue? Someone famous. It is none other than Mr. Tom Cruise. Little different. What about this beautiful little girl? This is Jennifer Lopez. Now, I'm going to give you this next one. This next one is easy. Who's this? Denzel, correct. Denzel Washington. All right. Who is this chubby-cheeked little boy? It is none other than Brad Pitt. Oh. Who is this long-haired young man? It is none other than YouTube internet sensation and our pastor, Jason Copeland. Isn't that amazing? And what is fun is, you see, not only what they are, the little, these beautiful little kids, but what are they going to be spiritually when they grow up? What's going to happen to them? And we've been in this little series as we are in between books of the Bible, but we've been talking about walking with Jesus. And really, I thought today would be appropriate to talk about why are you here? And this is a great question. Whether you understand this or you're new to the church, this is one that you have to get. And even if you say, oh, I'm a believer, I know why I'm here. And I just want to say, really? Okay, and that's good, but are you living for why you were here? I talk to people, I figured it out, I talk to dozens of people every week, and everyone's trying to find fulfillment, happiness, success, fun, long life. They just want to be happy. And the scripture's clear that we were knit together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're all made for a purpose. And that purpose, as the Westminster Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is why you're here. I don't care who you are, you will never be happy in life until you understand and live for this purpose, because that's why we're made. And the Bible, though it does not use that exact phrase, it over and over again talks about us being people who glorify God. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and existed and are created. You and I are here because God made us. He knit us in our mother's womb, and we were made by God for God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, and whatever includes work, it includes leisure, includes family time, includes whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Psalm 16, verse 11, you've made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so that's why we're here. And by the way, we know it. We all know it. Those little children that sang up here that we saw in the video, they deep down know it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's hearts. God made us with a longing and a desire that we would have purpose and significance in life. And in Romans chapter 1, it says, "For what may be known about God is plain to them." So it's plain, because God has shown it to them. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse, although they knew God." So everyone knows God. Deep down, everyone knows God. They know that there's a God. They know he exists. I think about those kids that are up there that were on that video. And some of those kids will end up atheists. They will. We live in a world that is becoming more and more anti-God, and they will be raised in a culture that believes less in God. And even though deep down they know, they're gonna turn from it. They're gonna battle it, and they're gonna reject. Now, why is that? Why do we struggle? The answer is real clear. We live in a fallen world. And because of that, we are sinners. And I laugh about this because I've done a bunch of funerals in the last couple weeks. And when I do a message like this, you can see people just squirm. When you start to mention the word sin, I just see people like shut down. Now, I'm hoping you don't shut down. Because it's a reality in your life. Your struggle, the stuff you struggle with this week, the stuff maybe you even struggle with this morning, is because you're a fallen, you have a sin nature. We are fallen people that live in a world that is fallen. And when I talk about sin nature, the sin nature is the aspect in us that makes us rebel against God. When we speak of sin nature, we refer to the fact that we have a natural inclination to sin. Given the choice to do God's will or our own, we will naturally choose to do our own thing. Every one of those little children will that is their bent. It says in Isaiah, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's funny, you know, and the big news story is that rich people are buying their kids' way into colleges. Like, ooh, that's some new revelation. It's like, hello? I mean, what do you think they were doing when the Smith wing was, you know, the Smith Center? What do you think his kid was, like a rocket scientist? That answer is no. He built a building and they let their kid go there. I'm quite sure that that has been going on ever since there have been colleges and universities. And you can try to legislate sin out. You can't do it. It's there. It's in this world. Romans 1:21 goes on to say, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So even though we know there's a God deep down, and we search for significance and meaning, we're all born with foolish and darkened hearts, and there is that battle of sin. And by the way, the effect of sin, not only are we separated from God, not only are we physically gonna die if the Lord doesn't return, but you are sitting around people who are and have been mistreated, abused, betrayed, neglected, wronged, violated, hurt. And there are many other words that right around you, either you have experienced it or there's people who have been massively scarred by people in this world. And sitting around you are people who have done the scarring and have done the abuse. No, it might not be as bad as some other people, but we have done the rejection. We have done the mistreated. We have violated people. We've hurt people. And again, we might not be as bad as the person sitting next to you, but compared to an infinitely holy God, we are fallen, and we need hope. What is the hope? The hope is the reason that we're here. The hope is found in the gospel, in the person of Jesus Christ. We're coming up to Easter, but a few months ago, we came up to Christmas time where a Savior. We celebrate the birth of a Savior who has born to us, born of a virgin. He lived an absolutely perfect life for us. That's the whole meaning. And people will try to bridge that gap. They will try to do it by, you know, good works and religion, and they'll try to earn their way into heaven, but it will all fall short because it's not by works. And so the good news of the gospel is Christ came and he died and he bore the very wrath that your sins and my sins deserve. He died on the cross that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Is Christianity exclusive? Yeah, because Jesus said, neither is there salvation in any other. Not by works, not by church denomination, not by doing what I tell you. No, you do, you give your life to Jesus. You, by faith, you turn and you repent and you surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes in him that sent me has eternal life, will not be condemned. Though we deserve to be, we will not be condemned, but we cross over from death unto life. And what happens in that moment when you by faith trust him, he takes your life that your life's been going in a million different directions, and it all comes into focus, and we understand the gospel, and we know why we're made. And so the great thing is, yes, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Those people who, getting baptized, they receive the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one could boast. Then it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. So that's why we were made. Now, when we understand the gospel, then we can get to the place and we can ask the question, how can I glorify God? If the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, which that is, if you're here today and you're a Christian, that's your job. Your job is not to be happy. I got to not use such verbal language. I was going to say, I'm going to choke somebody if they say they want to be happy. Again, Jim tells me, don't do that. Okay, I'm trying. But you get the point. Life is not about you being happy. It is about us being holy. It is about us glorifying the God that made us. And we're going to see how to do that, but then what's the result? But we do it because he has saved us and we were made for this purpose. So how do we do this? We glorify God when we give God verbal declarations of praise and thanks. My points here are from a adaptation of an article that I read from Kevin DeYoung on the Gospel Coalition website. I thought it was great. Changed a few words, but it's good stuff. Here's what he says. It's true that we do this when we give verbal declarations of praise and thanks. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. That's a struggle. But you want to glorify him, the more you do that, the more you are just thankful. You give him praise and thanks. You know, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Fill in the rest, hallowed be your name. It starts off, hallowed be his name, making his name holy. In Colossians 3:17, it says, for whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Whatever you do it, and you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And you can give him thanks. I think the two things we should continually do to get your week better is spend time thinking about God's attributes and his greatness and then thanking him. There's a million things you can thank him for that you just take for granted. You pull into a parking spot. You get a good parking spot. Give him thanks. You know, my mom loves chocolate frosted flakes. And Kroger's never has them. Never. So I'm doing a hospital visit. I'm coming back up. And I said, you know what? I'm going to swing by just to see. And they had them, and I cleaned them out. I got three boxes, and you know, and so and I got my little thanks bowl at home, and it made it into the thanks bowl. Why? Because I need to be reminded myself that I got to give thanks for the big things and the little things. Yes, that He does not treat me as my sins deserve. I mean, think about it. If we were God, we would zap people. We would. You been angry at anybody this week? You been a little irritated? I mean, maybe you're all better people than I am, but I'm telling you that there is a part where, you know, but God doesn't treat us that way. He loves us with amazing compassion, and so we give Him thanks and praise and give Him glory. Psalm 50, verse 23, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. And so that's why we want to glorify Him. Another way we can do this, live a life of noticeable virtue. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. That word honorable is a rich meaning. It implies that which is pure, it's the high, it's noble. It means lovely, winsome, gracious, and excellent. And having been delivered from the bondage of darkness, He wants us to let our light shine. He wants us to live without hypocrisy. He wants us to, as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your bodies. So may we live. You want to glorify Him? Live a life of noticeable virtue. Point C, bear fruit and show yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. This is kind of simple, but it's so true. In John 15:8, it says, by this my Father is glorified. That's an easy one. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. And God the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He is the one that produces Christ-like fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we don't do that, we repent. We tell Him we're sorry. We turn from that. In John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is where it's that reminder that we can do nothing without him. I don't care if you walk with Jesus for 60 years. I see 60-year-old or 60 years walking with Jesus, grumpy people sometimes. Your longevity of being in the faith does not mean that the fruit of the Spirit is controlling you. And so we submit to him. Letter D, love your life less than God. Love your life less than God. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is, again, we don't do this perfectly, but that is our goal. That is what we're striving for. It's so easy to get distracted with life. And can I just say, there is a massive benefit for you. If you have more Jesus, you're going to have less drama, less selfishness, less complaining, less bitterness, less gossip, less pride, less anger, less me, and you could put down less worry, less fill in the blank. But when you put your eyes on him, everything comes into perspective. Then the last way we can glorify God is be a servant. Be a servant. We are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit lives within you if you're a Christian. And he doesn't want to leave you on the shelf. He wants to use you where you're at for his glory. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may be worthy, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every good work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And you know what's great is that when it happens, and it does happen. You know when you hear it all the time, though, sometimes at funerals. We did a funeral Friday. We did one Saturday. Two ladies, Elizabeth Braun and Carmen Barbosa, both loved Jesus. Both impacted their families by letting the gospel live in their lives. And God was glorified. Why? Because they were servants. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be your servant. And so our challenge is to serve like Jesus, who gave us the example when he washed the disciples' feet and he says, that which I have done for you, you should do always, and you should do to others also. We do it in his power. I want to just tie this all together, because I don't care if you've walked with Jesus, you've taught classes, you know the Bible. Because I've taught classes, I know the Bible, but I need this reminder for myself every day. I do. Because the reality is, when Matt's the center of the world and I have less Jesus, there is more drama, there is more selfishness, there is more complaining, there is more bitterness, there is more gossip, there is more pride, there is more anger. Why? Because there's more of me. And when that happens, and can I tell you, that can happen like that. Can it not just happen like that? My wife called me. And you guys know, I hate doing stuff around the house. I mean, I can't fix a light bulb. It's terrible. Well, she calls me and says, there's water coming out of the spigot outside, and it won't shut off. Everyone's laughing at me. So here's what happens. I go, okay, and so, you know, we're having some work done by this guy, and he used the hose, and he couldn't shut it off, So he said, go get a cap. So I go get a cap. That darn thing. You would have thought there was like a million pounds of pressure. The thing would not shut off. And to this day, it's I got a bucket underneath there. It's leaking. And I just lose it. And then I turn around and repent. And it's like, oh, Lord, forgive me. And in that moment, it's just a little water. But you know what happened? There was less Jesus, and there was more Matt. Don't you hate when you do that? I don't know about you, but it's like, I want to glorify my Lord. I love him. So the battle is putting Jesus at the center, even when you got to try to fix a faucet, which I can't, but at least I can put a bigger bucket under there and glorify him, because that's our goal. So why are you here? This is a question for you today. Why are you here? If you don't understand this, my prayer is that you would. Again, this is not about this church. This is about you and the God of the universe. That you would know him, that you would love him. That you would know that he loves you and you were made that you would glorify him. And you will never be happier. So, wherever God finds you today, may he take you and either remind you or give you this understanding for the first time afresh. And then the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Those two funerals that I did the last couple days, both of these ladies were joy-filled. And I just got to tell you, Elizabeth Braun's a gal that hasn't been here because she's been in a nursing home for a few years. 13 years ago, she had a hip replacement, and it didn't take. And so they tried another one, and that didn't take. So she lived 13 years without a hip. And you would think that that would make her grumpy. But I got to tell you, it didn't. the joy of the Lord and the testimony that she had. And yeah, it wasn't easy. There was a struggle that was there. But her goal was to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And you know what? She did, and now she does. She now glorifies and will glorify and enjoy her Savior forever. And when we do that, it's all good. Because the sovereign God of the universe has put you in your life, where you are, in your circumstances. And you say, why me? I don't know. But I tell you this much, I have seen enough of life that when you see people that are going through the hardest, most difficult times, and they trust the Lord, and they let the Lord work through it, it's a marvelous thing. The funeral I did yesterday, Carmen Barbosa, she had 5 kids, 2 boys, 3 girls. First son, murdered. Came to know Jesus through that. Took the gospel and was God's instrument to bring the gospel to the entire family. Second son, joins the Navy, flying Apache helicopters, crashes, he dies. And yet, through it all, not only did God work, but it was worship yesterday when we sat here and talked about what God has done. So I don't know what you're going through today. Your circumstance from a human standpoint might be horrendous. I would say trust the God of the universe. Turn into it. Let Him work. Let God take His word and work in your life. But I do know this. You put Him at the center. You make Him your Lord and your Savior. You glorify God and you enjoy Him forever. And it's going to be all good. So I just want to pray for us right now. Father, I come before You. Lord, You know every heart. I would pray that we would know who we are in You. Lord, I pray that we would know You, not just a church, not just a religion, but that we would know our Lord and our Savior, and that we would think about our lives and why we're here. And it doesn't mean that we don't do what we do, but it means that we do what we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all for the glory of our God and King. Lord, I praise You that we were made to praise the Lord. And I thank You that You have opened our blind eyes if we know You. And I pray that we would worship You in spirit and in truth for Your glory. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's glorify Him one more time and put our minds on what we should be putting it on, redirecting off of ourselves unto Him. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. They laid Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah stayed, and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord,
oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
So as we conclude, a little assignment. Take the notes here, and the reason we put the graphics on here is look at this. Put it somewhere where you'll look at it, and just evaluate next week. Because what you're going to find, you will be able to look at this as if you would a diagnostic tool to see how your week's going and whether you are glorifying God. But let me encourage you to put that refrigerator, put it in the bathroom. I don't care where you put it, but somewhere where you will look at it and just evaluate what is happening in your life. I want to conclude with the doxology at the end of Jude. It says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, now and forevermore." And all God's people said, amen.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.